today to bring forth your word in a way that your spirit could use it to the best in our lives, Lord. Help us to understand what you're trying to say through your Holy Spirit today, God. Lord, let this word see deep in our hearts that we can take it to this lost and dying world and find some hope and refuge in our own lives. Lord, as the word is being heard, increase our faith, O Lord. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. You know, as the worship team was singing that song, East to West, Julie and I had the opportunity, kind of at the last minute, to go see that concert, Casting Crowns, in Troy. And it was very nice because it was just them, and it definitely felt more like a worshipful atmosphere. I'd gone to a previous one where there was everybody and their uncle, and it just seemed like they were other groups were just lacking the anointing. They did a great job. They sang great, but there was just something missing. And it was just the anointing of God. And, you know, I think with these people, I hope they continue walking in the path of Christ. But, you know, they began to tell about a few of the stories behind the songs. And, you know, as great as songs are, they just don't seem to carry the same punch, except you know the story behind the song. You know, I think to one of my favorite songs, It Is Well With My Soul. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. And, you know, I've loved it ever since I've been a kid. But it wasn't until, you know, in my adult life that I understood and heard the story behind it. And it just carried so much more weight and so much more power. And you begin to understand a little bit more about the writer, what was going on here. And the same that we're finding here in Matthew, that Jesus is trying to tell his disciples that this night is going to be it. The one that he's been trying to tell them about the whole time. And it hasn't come together yet. They don't know the full story. They've missed out on something. They're not grasping what Jesus is trying to tell them. They think it's just some beautiful words Jesus yet again is saying to them. And Peter kind of standing up and said, Lord, no matter what, I'm not going to deny you. Though I die, I'm going to die with you. How many times have we made bold statements in our lives that we've had to chew back a few times, eat our words? I know I have. How many times I've said, this is never going to happen to me. Sometimes the words don't even get out of our mouths and it happens to you. But the disciples weren't understanding what Jesus was talking about. And if we go a little earlier into this story, they're just sitting down to the Last Supper. And I wanted to just kind of a little footnote here. Earlier back in verse 27, it says, and he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Just a little footnote. There's so much in here. I mean, I encourage you to read this, read the whole story, because every gospel, it's mentioned in every gospel, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but each one kind of casts a little different light. They all have a different viewpoint, and that's, you know, one of the marvelous things of Scripture, that we can look through there and you see parallel scriptures. But I wanted to kind of touch on this because there's been a lot lately in the world trying to say that you find salvation through baptism, you find salvation through taking communion, you find salvation in everything else other than the blood of Jesus. And here, Jesus is clearly identifying where the remission of sin happens. It's in the New Testament of his blood. The New Testament was him providing a sacrifice for our sins. So right here you have a scripture that you can hold up the validity of the Word of God, that no, it didn't happen because of baptism. It didn't happen because of communion. It didn't happen because your uncle went to church 20 years before you were born. It happened because of the blood of Jesus. And, you know, we really need to hold on to that, because in this world there is a lot of deception going around in churches that are trying to compromise the Word of God with the things of the world. And it don't work. But going on to the story of Peter, it was shortly after that that Jesus calls his disciples together. And many of you, I'm sure, know the story of Jesus going into the Garden of Gethsemane. And he takes three, tells the others to wait behind, and takes three with him to go alone and pray. With Peter, James, and John. And he said, "Can you just wait here and pray? And I'm going to go over here and pray." And the Lord Jesus knows the things that are coming upon him, because Jesus is God, but he's also man. And he knows it's going to hurt. You know, we've heard this statement before: when you get hit, it's like, oh boy, that's going to leave a mark. Well, he knew it was going to leave a mark, and more so to the point, it was going to take his life. And he knew, being God, that it had to be done. But still, in his flesh, in the human being part, sometimes we just don't want to go through things. How many of you ever had to face surgery? And you know it's coming. You know you need it. How many of you guys were just excited and just first one at the door? "Let me in. I'm ready for surgery. Come on, open the doors. Let's get this girl. I'm excited." No, there's nobody excited about surgery. But that's our flesh. Sometimes we know that we have to face things and circumstances. But Jesus knew that he was going to have to face this. And he was, in his flesh, he was crying out to God, said, "Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." As Jesus was praying, his disciples fell asleep. So he went and woke them up, roused them, and says, "Fellas, I really need you to pray with me. I really need you to pray with me." Now, I want you to see something, because earlier Peter was saying, "Lord, I'll die for you." But there's something missing there, because now Peter can't even stay awake for him. So Jesus again goes and prays and comes back and again finds his disciples asleep. And he says to Peter, "Could you not stay awake for just 1 hour?" You know, notice he's calling out to Peter. And going a little further on, of course, now Judas comes with the chief priests and the guards, and they're coming to take Jesus. And, you know, Peter, now finding his courage and his anger and aggression, lashes out at one of the servants, chops off his ear, and, you know, the Lord heals that, but says, "You know, Peter, put away your swords." You know, and tells all the guards and the Pharisees, like, "You know what? I was with you early today teaching in the temple. Why didn't you take me then? I was right there. You wouldn't have had no opposition. You didn't have to come looking for me. I was there where you're going to take me to." They said, "Nevertheless, the word of God, scriptures must be fulfilled." You know, there's prophecy behind all this stuff. And if if people would take the time to look at it, they would understand that there's an order of events that are being set into motion. Now, the Bible says that Peter followed afar off. Now, remember, this was the man that said he was going to die for Jesus. He was the first one to pull his sword. He's going to defend Jesus. But now Jesus is being taken before Pilate to get ready to be sentenced to death. All of the other disciples are gone. I think John was there. But as they're taking Jesus away, and I'm just going to kind of summarize this for the time's sake. You all know the story, but you know, read about it. Just don't take my word for it. Read it. Now Peter is standing afar off, and now one of the young ladies that was with this whole entourage of people looking for Jesus, weren't you with Jesus? I know I saw you. I don't know what you're talking about. I wasn't with Jesus. I don't even know who the guy is. I just got back from California, and I'm wondering what's going on here. How many times ever got your tail caught in the door and trying to do some fast talking to get yourself out of it? Hello? Anybody out there this morning? Am I the only one? Maybe so. You'll have to pray for me. So again, that kind of dismisses that, and Peter figures like that, well, you know, I'm out of this mess. I'm out of this circumstance now. I can just kind of see what's going on here. And now someone else says, man, you were there. You're a Galilean. Your speech betrays you. Man, I don't know what you're talking about. I wasn't there. I don't know him. And finally, the third one comes up. This is the one that got his ear chopped off. Man, I know you were there. You're the dude who cut off my ear. How can you say that you weren't there? That was you. And now he begins to curse and swear. And right in that moment, while he's doing that, the rooster crows. And all of a sudden, the thoughts of everything he told Jesus and how and what Jesus had told him, that before the rooster crows, he's going to deny him three times. And immediately he remembered. And the Bible says that he went away and wept bitterly. You know, how many times have we been in circumstances and situations where we've really felt like we have totally blown it for God? There is no more hope for us anymore. That we have failed God. We've denied Him. We've turned our back on Him. We've sinned a horrible sin. We've done all these horrible, horrible things. Jesus is done with me. Has anyone ever felt that way before? That you've just gone too far? As the worship team was singing that song, East to West, and I'm just one mistake away. But a little further on, go with me over to John chapter 21. A little further on, as Peter, I'm sure, is repenting for what he's done and crying out and just feeling all this remorse and heartache. But then here's the news after Jesus is crucified and that he's rose again. The Bible says that John and Peter went out to the tomb. But Peter, or no, what was it? John that ran out ahead. But they found the empty tomb, just as Jesus has said. So now things are starting to click with these guys, like, wait a minute here. We've been part of a story. Jesus has been telling us things that are going to be happening. Peter, I'm still sure feeling the remorse. But now after Jesus has been raised, go with me to verse 15. Now this is after the great miracle of the, Peter and the disciples going out fishing and casting their nets on the other side. And they came back to shore and they knew it was Jesus. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou more than these? Lovest me thou more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, now knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Here, we're looking at from a fleshly point of view. Jesus is now replying back to Peter. Three times. How many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three times. Is Peter looking at this with joy and happiness? Absolutely not. It says he's grieved. He's like, man, I thought we were past this. I thought you'd forgiven me. And now you're bringing this up to me again? But there was a reason. Because it's not works that are going to put us into heaven. It's not works that satisfies the price upon our head. It's not works of righteousness that we have done, but by His grace He saved us. Not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. It is the grace of God working through us. His love, His mercy, His blood, the New Testament of His blood, shining through us, poured upon our lives. When we cry out in faith, we're justified before a holy God. Jesus was just reminding Peter, first, what He'd anointed him to do. He already told him, Peter, thou art a rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, Peter not being the rock, but Jesus being the rock, but more importantly, Jesus reminding him of each of these failures that he's done are not failures according to the Scripture, but rather victories because they were overcome by the power of the cross. That Peter came to the point that I'm sure each and every one of us has done that. Maybe someone knows you from your past life. No, someone knows where you've been. I remember you. I remember the things that you did. I remember how you lied. I remember how you cheated. I remember how you stole. I remember how you cussed me out that one time. There's always going to be fingers pointing. And I'm sure every time that he heard a rooster crow, something inside his spirit was just sinking and crying out. Oh. Maybe even he was blaming himself for Jesus' death. That, if I'd have been more of a man and stood up, Maybe they wouldn't have crucified him. Maybe I could have done something. Maybe I could have testified in his behalf. Something. I shouldn't even be here. I should be dead. But because Jesus was alive, there was a different point there. Because a little further on, we read in Acts chapter 2 that Peter stood up full of the Holy Ghost and began to proclaim the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. That he realized at that moment in that time that all the failures that this world looks around as failures became triumphs through Jesus Christ. Because in your worst hour, God's promises are fulfilled. In your greatest failures, his blood and mercy works upon our lives and lifts us to that high point to where there's no more failure but victory in Jesus Christ. That now, when Peter hears that rooster crow, he says, praise God. Praise God. I have victory over my sin. Praise God. Those marks are no longer held against me through Jesus Christ. And now, when that rooster crows, wherever he's at, whatever barnyard or whatever he's passing, he hears that rooster cry out. He's happy. He remembers. And Jesus saying, do you love me? Three times is just a reminder. Reminder to him that yes, he truly does. That yes, he's put his faith in Jesus Christ. That it's about faith. It's not about works. It's not about what he's did in the past. It's about where his faith is now. Back when I was a teenager, went through some circumstances and troubles in my life where I began to question the existence of God. And I was just a stubborn young man, hurt, frustrated, in pain because of a circumstances I was going through. And I began to question if there was a God, because there couldn't be a God for me to be going through the things I was going through. But you know, I realized at that time I was just hurting and in pain and just being rebellious, wanting God to do something miraculous and marvelous that I could see it. But you know, there's never going to be, we talked a little bit about this and as we were praying this morning, there's never going to be proof positive in this world that there's a God, that Jesus died on the cross and rose again. We have proof as Christians see it, but as the world sees it, there's never going to be that 100% proof guaranteed that no matter who looks at it, we know that God is God and Jesus Christ is his Son, and that if we put our faith in him, we'll have everlasting life. There's never going to be that proof, because we have to come through God, to God through faith. It's faith that makes this thing work. If we knew for fact, we wouldn't need faith. One day, praise God, our faith is going to become sight. We're going to leave this world and we're going to be forever with Jesus, the author and finisher, the finisher of our faith. This home, this place here is not our home. This is just a temporary stomping grounds for us. But one day, praise God, our faith will be sight. We're not going to need faith anymore, because the object of our faith is going to be walking with us. We're going to be going side by side. We're going to be holding His hand. We're going to be forever in the presence of the Lord. Praise God. You know, if we begin to look toward a future, maybe this past and stuff that we're living in doesn't seem quite so hard, because we know there's a better place. That is our real home. But in my life, I began to question God. I began to question the existence of God. But you know, even in my stubbornness, even in my rebellion, Jesus had enough grace and mercy, even for a stubborn little boy, to show His love. You know, I grew up in church my whole life. I want to tell you something today, folks. Maybe you don't have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you've just met Him in passing. Maybe you've just seen Him from afar off. Maybe you felt like that was a thing to do. You've had more of an emotional experience. But let me tell you something. From experience, I know there was a difference from when I was 5 years old giving my heart to Jesus, when I was 16, 17 years old, when Jesus really got a hold of my life. Because I'll tell you one thing right now, when you meet Jesus face to face, your life is forever changed. It's not any more wishy-washy. It's either for Jesus or against Jesus. If you haven't met Jesus today, don't leave this place. Don't leave this place, because Jesus is here. And He wants to demonstrate His love, because even in His Word, He says, He demonstrated His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus revealed His love to me in a very special way. I didn't deserve it. I love you, folks, but guess what? You don't deserve it either. But God loved us. In our sin, He loved us and paid the price that we couldn't pay for us while we were still hating Him. It's that video Michelle played. The way it was worded of how can Jesus love when we do everything we can to fight against Him. He still loves. Why did Jesus love me? You know, I didn't get into drugs or alcohol or anything else like that. But I know for a fact, if my lights would have gone out, I wouldn't have made it. I wouldn't have made it. But praise God. My darkest hours is just a reminder now of God's miraculous power, His saving grace that's been applied to my life, and I'm forever free. And I know if the lights go out today, where my home is, where I'm going. And you know what? You could know the same thing. You could know the same thing through Jesus Christ. That you know when your faith is applied to that New Testament in His blood, that you can be like Peter and stand up. Stand up and affirm Jesus Christ, because the Spirit of God is living in you. Let's stand together and be closing. We could just bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment. I want you to think for just a moment about the mistakes that you've made in your life. I want you to think for just a moment on your greatest failures. Now I want you to apply the blood of Jesus to those mistakes and failures. You know, the disciples marveled to Jesus when they said, even the demons obey our words. And Jesus said, marvel not in that, but marvel that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Today, you may be saying inside, well, you know, Paul, this I really don't feel like this really applied to me. But you know what? If it doesn't apply to you, my question is, who does it apply to then? Because we've all failed. We've all made mistakes. We all are going through circumstances and situations, oftentimes of our own design. We're going through troubles and messes we've created ourselves. But I'm here today to tell you that because of the blood of Jesus, the hardest times of your life, areas of your life that you feel like that you've failed, God wants you to remind you that those are your greatest victories because He overcame. You have overcame. Hallelujah. We are all have been made more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. You may be going through a circumstance, situation, I don't know where to go, I don't know where to turn. But yet this is another opportunity for God's promises to be fulfilled in your life. Another demonstration of Jesus' miraculous victory being applied to our lives. Maybe you're saying today, you know, Paul, I don't know Jesus. I thought I did, but I really don't. I'm looking around and I know you guys, but guess what? I don't know you like Jesus knows you. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you don't really know Jesus and you want to know more about Jesus. You want to have that relationship with Him that you've seen others have, that you've read about, that you've heard about. You want more of that. If that's you today, I want you to raise your hand. Say, Paul, pray for me. for the rest of us. I want to encourage you today. We can see the troubles going on around us. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that we're in trouble. In the world standard, we're in trouble. But Jesus is above it all. He has complete control. And what we need to do is allow Him to have complete control in our lives. As the Bible says, we need to lay aside every weight that so easily besets us. Are there weights in your life today that are holding you back, that are holding you down? I'm encouraging you today because Jesus has conquered all. Apply that victory to your life today, because in these situations, in these times of uncertainty, Jesus is trying to demonstrate to you His victorious working power. That you may not understand how. You may not understand where. You may not understand when. But know that He will accomplish that what He has set out to do. Can we just come together for a short time of prayer for all those that would come up to the altar? You know, this time that we share together, you know, we're not here just by accident. We're not here. We may think sometimes we've just put in our minds to show up someplace. Don't work that way, folks. I mean, if you can just see just the way things just kind of roll together in a service, and you got different people doing different things and how it all just kind of comes together. Man, that's just not by accident. You know, maybe you're here today and maybe you need some special prayer. We don't have to know what the circumstances are. We don't have to know what the situation is. If you'd like special prayer today, just come on up. So we have our brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do, is we're supposed to lift each other up. Is there anyone that would like special prayer today? We just gather around Sister Mina. Lord God, right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know for a fact that You are here, that Your presence is with us, Lord. Lord, that Your very steps are walking through this building today, Lord, walking through our hearts, God. Lord, right now, for Sister Mina, Lord, right now, God, that You would touch her body right now, Lord. Lord, that You would remove the situation in her shoulder right now, God, whatever she's pulled. Lord, bring healing right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, right now, the authority of Jesus Christ, take it away right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, as we're standing together agreeing in faith, Lord, in the name of Jesus, take it right now, Lord. Lord, provide healing instantaneously right now. Lord, put together whatever has been pulled apart, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Remove the pain, remove the swelling. Lord, allow her to have comfort right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we just lift our hands for a moment and praise the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that we can come boldly to your throne, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 There's someone else who wants prayer. Lord just checked me and you said, you said in your heart, it's just been too many times. And it's not. It's not. No one's twisting your arm, but if that's you, come on up. If you want a special touch from the Lord today, come on up. Would you come on up here too, Jeremy? Lord God, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, oh, hallelujah, Lord, I feel the heaviness, God, Lord, I feel the oppression of the enemy working against this family, God, Lord, on multiple planes, right now in the name of Jesus, I rebuke and I bind the powers of the enemy that are working against them right now, that are trying to take away their joy right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, right now, provide healing in their spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, help them to know that you have gone before them, that you're working on their behalf, that it's not an accident that they're up here right now, God. Lord, that you stopped everything. You've stopped everything for them, God. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, provide healing, Lord. Restoration, God. Lord, most of all, restore that joy and peace that the enemy has robbed from them, God. Lord, right now, Lord, have more of your spirit rest upon this household, God. Lord, that they would know without a shadow of a doubt that you are there, God. That you are working for them, that you're working in their behalf. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, that they'll no longer feel like their prayers are bouncing off the ceiling and slapping them in the face, God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Jesus. Rest. rest in my presence. Take your rest in my presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Lord God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Sharon, could we pray with you today? Let's gather around Sharon. Lord God, right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, that you found Sharon, Lord, in her time of despair. Lord, that you've revealed your love to her in a special way, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Through the trials and circumstances of her life, Lord, she's been looking to you, but not understanding why. Lord, hallelujah. Just kind of telling her right now, don't ask why, but just look to me. Hallelujah. Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, pour out our fresh anointing right now, Lord, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, hallelujah. Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Pour out your spirit, Lord. Lord, let it run all over, Lord. Lord, to everyone she comes in contact with right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister Linda, could we pray for you today? Hallelujah. 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 The Lord has just told me, Linda, that Satan has had desires on you and your family and desires to sift you as wheat. But the Lord is holding up that standard against him. Hallelujah. Lord God, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, right now, Lord, fill Linda's heart, her life, her home, everything right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, right now, God, give her such a faith, Lord, that wherever she steps, demons are jumping out of their hiding places, afraid of your spirit, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, that she'll no longer linger in fear, but Lord, knowing that you are working on her behalf, God. Lord, that you are taking a stand against the circumstances that are trying to bring her down, that you are saying, I will take care of you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Is there anyone else that would like special prayer this morning? The Lord is here. precious Heavenly Father. Lord, I thank you for this time of worship and praise that we've had with you today, God. But Lord, let that end, Lord. Let us carry you with us wherever we go, God. Lord, that it's not just on Sunday and Wednesday, Lord, when we call upon your name, Lord, but every day we press after you, Lord, as the same as you pressed after us. Lord, let us set time aside in our day to call upon your name, to seek out your word, Lord. For, Lord, without your word, we're perishing, God. We need your word, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, keep us safe until that we can meet again at the next appointed time. Keep us safe, Lord. But most of all, make us willing vessels for you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you guys take off, Chris has an announcement he'd like to make.